Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. Coming up this hour.
The first U.S. case of the Omicron variant is identified in California.
Japan backtracks on its latest plan for a travel ban.
Calls for faster tapering from the Fed grow louder.
And shares of Apple fall on word of a waning demand for the iPhone.
Supreme Court conservative justices suggest they're poised to roll back abortion rights, plus more testimony in Ghislaine Maxwell's sex abuse trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers beat the Flyers at the Garden, and the baseball owner lockout of the players is underway.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are gaining while European stocks slump. That's after the worst two-day slump for the S&P 500 in more than a year. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 35 points, Dow futures up 329, and NASDAQ futures up 81. And the 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 1.44%. Nathan.
Karen, Major League Baseball is in a lockout this morning. We'll have more on that coming up in sports. But first, we start with the latest on the Omicron variant. The first case of the new strain has been identified in California. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says the case was just identified a few days ago and the person was fully vaccinated but not boosted and had traveled to South Africa.
Again, they traveled back into the United States on the 21st, landed on the 22nd, developed some symptoms a few days later around the 25th, got tested on the 28th. The test came back positive on the 29th.
CDC is saying all contact tracing has turned up negative tests. Newsom says the patient is a San Francisco resident and is doing well. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, that puts the Omicron variant in the U.S. about 10 days ago, but it'll still be some time before we know just how deadly and transmissible it is. That's according to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
This is what we call in medicine an N equals one, which means that you really can't take anything away from a single patient.
The U.S. imposed travel restrictions on Southern Africa about 4 days after this traveler arrived in the U.S. Dr. Fauci said those restrictions will not prevent more cases from arriving and will likely only be temporary.
Well, so far, Karen, there is no indication the Omicron variant is deadlier than other strains. That's according to Australia's chief medical officer, Paul Kelly.
Of the over 300 cases that have now been diagnosed in many countries, they have all been very mild or, in fact, have no symptoms at all. Most of the cases so far outside of South Africa have been in young, fit travellers. So that is an open question. We have not seen an increase in deaths in South Africa where most of the Omicron cases have emerged.
Experts caution that deaths often lag infections by several weeks. So far, Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly says Australia has 7 cases of the Omicron variant.
Well, Nathan, travel restrictions have come fast and furious since the new strain was discovered. Now Japan is backtracking on its plans. Tokyo is dropping a proposal to stop all new incoming flight reservations. That's after the government said the policy caused confusion.
Well, what's not confusing this morning is the path forward for Fed policy, Karen. The central bank looks likely to pare back support for the economy quicker than initially expected. Chair Jay Powell says it'll be discussed at this month's Fed meeting as officials try to keep inflation in check.
The inflation that we're seeing is still clearly connected to pandemic-related factors. I would also add, though, that it has spread more broadly in the economy, and I think that the risk of persistent higher inflation has clearly risen.
Chair Powell now says inflation pressures will linger well into next year.
And if that holds true, Nathan, the head of the Cleveland Fed will be ready to start hiking rates. Loretta Mester tells us she's also open to scaling back asset purchases at a faster pace.
I do think that, you know, we have to be in a position that if we need to raise rates, you know, a couple of times next year, we're able to do that. So again, you know, quickening the tapering gives us that optionality.
Lorena Mester joins the ranks of Fed Presidents Mary Daly and Raphael Bostic in calling for a faster pace of tapering. Stay tuned for more of our interview with the Cleveland Fed President coming up 15 minutes from now.
Well, we also have news on one of the open seats on the Fed's Board of Governors, Karen. Sources say President Biden is interviewing his top picks for vice chair for supervision. They include Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic, as well as Duke Law Professor Sarah Bloom Raskin, and former Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Director Richard Cordray. The president says he'll announce nominees for open Fed seats soon.
Well, coming up today, Nathan, we get another reading on the labor market ahead of tomorrow's monthly jobs report. Economists predict today's jobless claims reading will come in around 240,000. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
We've been getting some very encouraging numbers, with the prior report showing weekly jobless claims dropped to the lowest since 1969. Bloomberg Economics says that steep drop may have been affected by seasonal factors, but the labor market is on the mend. Wednesday, payroll processor ADP reported businesses added more than 500,000 jobs for the second month in a row in November. Official payroll data set for release Friday is forecast to post a strong gain as well. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, we have some headlines weighing on Apple this morning. Bloomberg News has learned the company is seeing weaker demand for its latest iPhones. That's what it's telling suppliers and vendors. We get more from Bloomberg's Debbie Wu, who covers the semiconductor industry from our Taipei Bureau.
The company has told its component suppliers that demand for its latest iPhone 13 lineup has weakened. This shows that some consumers that may have decided against trying to get the new iPhone. It is still possible that Apple may enjoy a record-setting quarter. It's just that they probably will not be able to perform as well as they would have liked.
Bloomberg's Debbie Wu says Apple has been confronting supply chain issues. It initially expected to make up the shortfall next year, but now we're told the iPhone maker thinks those orders may not materialize. Checking Apple shares in the pre-market, they're down almost 2%. S&P futures are up 32 points. Dow futures higher by 300 points, and NASDAQ futures on the rise by 70 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports in that MLB lockout. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 51 degrees in Central Park, dealing with problems on the Verrazano Bridge with some late construction work there. Janelle Crispin will have the details in a few minutes. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative justices suggested they are poised to roll back abortion rights and uphold Mississippi's ban after 15 weeks of pregnancy. In arguments, all six Republican-appointed justices indicated they would let states start banning abortion far earlier than the court's precedents now allow. Former federal prosecutor and law professor Lori Levinson.
I think that one thing is clear to the court, that if in fact they uphold the Mississippi law and do not draw a firm line, they can expect an onslaught of new cases and new laws from other states seeking to abolish abortion.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson has a decision from the High Court is expected by June. A 15-year-old boy was charged with murder and terrorism for a shooting that killed four fellow students and injured more at a Michigan high school. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard also says there was a meeting between troubled officials and his parents just a few hours before the bloodshed at Oxford High School.
Asked the school if they had any records of him being bullied. And the coordinator of anti-bullying programs had no information that he'd been bullied by anyone.
Sheriff Michael Bouchard, the teen Ethan Crumbly, has been charged as an adult and denied bail. The defense at the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell is trying to cast doubt on the memory of a key accuser's allegation that the British socialite helped financier Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse the woman for years. Prosecutors say Maxwell and Epstein were partners in crime. Two former officials say former President Donald Trump first received a positive coronavirus test 3 days ahead of his first debate with Joe Biden. According to the New York Times, officials say Trump then received a negative result. President Biden was asked about it.
Do you think the former president put you at risk?
I don't think about the former president.
Thank you.
Biden spoke while discussing the country's supply chain issues, saying we're in strong shape. Democrat Stacey Abrams announced her second run for Georgia governor in 2022, sets up a rematch against Republican Governor Brian Kemp, maybe. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Almost 5 hours and 10 minutes into the lockout. John Stanshauer.
Yeah, Nathan. As you know, baseball work stoppages used to occur quite frequently. Yeah. Since the strike that wiped out the 1994 World Series, MLB has enjoyed labor peace longer than any of the other sports. But there was so much discord between the two sides when they tried to work out the parameters of the 2020 pandemic season. There's been a feeling ever since that a new labor deal would be problematic, and sure enough, as the old one expired at midnight, the owners locked the players out. Part of the negotiations is about expanded playoffs, but the real issue, how to divvy up what is a $10 billion a year business. The last free agent signing before the lockout, Marcus Stroman, left the Mets, joined the Cubs, but the Mets have, of course, added Max Scherzer, who hopes to help the Mets win the World Series.
Cool. That would be the ultimate dream here, is to go down and win the whole thing. But I'm also, I recognize it. I mean, that just it takes an absolutely unbelievable effort from now until that time of everybody playing well and being healthy at the same time to reach that dream, because only one team out of 30 gets to do that.
And Scherzer was asked what number he'll wear. He's worn 31 and 37 in his career, and those are two of the only three numbers the Mets have retired. The Rangers continue their great start to the season. Already their 14th win, 4-1 over Philadelphia at the Garden, where the Knicks tonight face Chicago, with Kemba Walker having been benched. Knicks are said to be trying to trade him. Bleacher Report has the Knicks talking to Houston about getting John Wall, who's an all-star who's healthy, hasn't played this season. College hoops, easy win for Seton Hall. Iona beat Marist. Fordham kept St. Francis winless. North Carolina blew out Michigan. Cowboys and Saints kick off week 13 in the NFL tonight in New Orleans. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 280. NASDAQ futures higher by 60 points. The 10-year Treasury down 11/32. Yield on the 10-year, 1.44%. Loretta Mester of the Cleveland Fed straight ahead. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Chance for a shower or two today. Otherwise cloudy with highs near 55 degrees. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and Saturday. Both days highs in the upper 40s. Currently 51 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning after the worst two-day slump for the S&P 500 in more than a year. This is as a decline in technology shares is weighing on European stocks this morning after Apple warned component suppliers of slowing demand for its iPhone 13 lineup. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. So again, futures are higher, with S&P futures up 21 points, Dow futures up 222, and NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is down 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.58%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2%, up $1.32 at $66.88 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.20 at $17.76 an ounce. The euro 1.1330 against the dollar. British pound 1.3310. And the yen is at 112.92. We continue to watch Apple shares down more than 2% in early trading. And today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Biden administration says restrictions on travel from Southern Africa because of the Omicron coronavirus variant will be temporary. Dr. Anthony Fauci's comments come after health officials identified the first U.S. case of the variant in California. The Supreme Court heard arguments in which the court was asked to overturn a nationwide right to abortion in Roe v. Wade. All six conservative justices indicated they would uphold a Mississippi law banning abortion at 15 weeks. Major League Baseball plunged into its first work stoppage since 1994. The sports collective bargaining agreement expired, and owners immediately locked out players in a move that threatened spring training and opening day. In the NHL, the Rangers won. In the NBA, the Wizards and Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Calls for faster tapering from the Fed are growing louder. Chair Jay Powell, Atlanta President Raphael Bostic, and San Francisco Chief Mary Daly have all mentioned it. And now you can add Loretta Mester to that list. The Cleveland Fed president is also talking about rate hikes next year. Mester sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Let's listen into their conversation now.
Going into the September meeting, I thought there was a strong case for tapering at a faster pace than what we had actually announced. And since that time, the data have come in supportive of that case. So I'm very open to considering a faster pace of tapering.
Many economists suggest the Fed should double the size of the taper so it can wrap it up by March instead of June. Would you be in favor of this?
Well, we're going to have to discuss that, I'm sure, at what the appropriate pace is. But, you know, ending the purchases in the first quarter or maybe early in the second quarter, right now, I would support that, given what we know about the economy. We'll know in 2 weeks more about Omicron, and then we can talk about what the appropriate pace is. But right now, I would support that.
How close are you? What do you need to see then? I mean, are you like, well, I just need a little confirmation to make sure I'm making the right decision? Is there something you're really doubtful about the making the case and actually say, yes, go ahead to do that speeded up taper?
No, I mean, the momentum in the economy is clear. I mean, you know, we've seen very strong labor markets. We've seen very strong price pressures and high inflation rates. I think the new issue is the risk of Omicron. And frankly, we just don't have enough information yet. I haven't changed my outlook. I mean, the economy is going to be, you know, it's just coming in very strong. The momentum in the economy is coming in very strong. And if the Omicron variant turns out to be like Delta, one thing we've learned over time is that with each new variant, there is some, you know, diminution in activity, that's sure. But each time it's less because the economy has learned and households and businesses have learned how to cope with the uptick in cases and the downtick. And, you know, we've had a higher vaccination rate over time as well. So it really is going to depend on how, you know, what the real risk is there. But in terms of the underlying economy, there's a lot of momentum. Okay. You know, firms are trying to, you know, persevere in the wake of, you know, labor market supply issues, you know, product market supply issues. And they've been able to sort of cope with it so far, but that's put upward pressure on prices.
You know,
and it's really important for the Fed, right, to do what it can, right, to ensure that those pandemic-related price increases don't become more persistent.
Well, 2 months ago, you said that the risk, upside risk on inflation outweighed the downside risk. So are you now in the camp that says, hey, this isn't transitory. There's a risk this becomes entrenched. Does this become now the bigger risk to the economy, which would again justify, necessitate a faster taper and speeding up so you can get to rate hikes quicker if you need them?
Well, I think that, you know, fast making the taper faster is definitely buying insurance and optionality so that if inflation doesn't move back down significantly next year, we're in a position to be able to, you know, look where we are and then hike if we have to. My base case still is that inflation will come down, but with the incoming data and the momentum and the lasting of the supply chain issues, I think it'll be higher than I'd like to see it in the first half of the year. And we're just kind of wait and see how things play out. I mean, Omicron may delay, you know, the supply chain issues may take longer to resolve. And so those are the kinds of things that we have to see going forward to be able to determine, you know, where we want to be. But the taper, quickening the taper just puts us in a better position to have that optionality if indeed we need to use it.
A month ago, you said rate hikes were still, quote, a long way off. Would you still say that today?
Well, for a while, I've been sort of thinking that we need to have a rate hike next year, but towards the end of the year. Right now, with the inflation data the way it is and with the job market as strong as it is in many dimensions, I do think that, you know, we have to be in a position that if we need to raise rates, you know, a couple of times next year, we're able to do that. So again, you know, quickening the tapering gives us that optionality.
That's Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester speaking with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. You can catch more of their conversation online at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures up 26 points right now. Dow futures up 261 and NASDAQ futures are higher by 46 points. Just ahead, the latest on Omicron now confirmed in the U.S. plus weakening demand for Apple's iPhones. All coming up in 5 minutes here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, cloudy, chance for a shower or two today, high near 55 degrees, upper 40s tomorrow and Saturday under a mix of sun and clouds. Currently 51 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The first U.S. case of the Omicron variant has been detected in California. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the San Francisco resident was fully vaccinated and has mild symptoms that are improving.
The individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November the 22nd. And tested positive on November the 29th.
Fauci said the individual is self-quarantining. They had earlier received 2 doses of Moderna's vaccine, but have not had a booster. The U.S. imposed travel restrictions on South Africa about 4 days after this traveler arrived in the U.S.
Yeah, travel restrictions have come fast and furious since this new strain was discovered, Karen. Now Japan is backtracking on its plans. Tokyo is dropping a proposal to stop all new incoming flight reservations. That's after the Japanese government said the policy caused confusion.
Well, it's not confusing this morning, Nathan, is the path forward for Fed policy. The central bank looks likely to pare back support for the economy quicker than initially expected. Chair Jay Powell says it'll be discussed at this month's Fed's meeting as officials try to keep inflation in check.
The U.S. needs to get back on a sustainable fiscal path. The right time to do that is when the economy is strong, when the taxes are rolling in, when employment is high.
Chair Powell now says he expects inflation pressures to linger well into next year.
We also have news on one of the open seats on the Fed's Board of Governors. Sources say President Biden is interviewing his top picks for vice chair for supervision. They include Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic, Duke Law Professor Sarah Bloom Raskin, and former Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Director Richard Cordray.
Well, turning to corporate news now, Nathan, we have some headlines weighing on Apple this morning. Bloomberg News has learned the company is seeing weaker demand for its latest iPhones. Apple has been confronting supply chain issues, but expected to make up the shortfall next year. Now it's telling suppliers and vendors that demand for the iPhone 13 may not pick up. As was previously expected, shares are down about 2% in early trading.
Futures, meanwhile, are higher this morning. S&P futures are up 26 points, Dow futures up 263, and NASDAQ futures up 43 points. 10-year Treasury is down 8/32, the yield 1.43%, yield on the 2-year 0.59. NYMEX crude up 2% right now, up $1.32, $66.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8 at $1776.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1329 against the dollar, and the yen is at 113.02. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 51 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash on the northbound FDR Drive near 106th. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Supreme Court's 6 conservative judges are signaling they will allow states to ban abortion much earlier in pregnancy. After arguments, they indicated they may go even further to overturn Roe v. Wade. Former federal prosecutor and law professor Lori Levinson.
It's hard to know how this case will come out. Some of the justices in the middle seem to be looking for middle ground. They were looking to see if there are other lines to be drawn other than the Roe v. Wade. line by trimesters, allowing a women's right of choice, at least through the first trimester.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson says the justices must decide whether to uphold Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks. A 15-year-old boy has been denied bail and moved to jail after being charged in a Michigan school shooting that killed four students and injured seven others. Oakland County authorities say that Ethan Crumley is charged as an adult, including murder and terrorism. Defense lawyers are trying to cast doubt on the memories of Ghislaine Maxwell's sex abuse accusers. A lawyer confronted a witness yesterday with FBI documents the defense says show she made inconsistent statements about Maxwell's participation in the abuse with Jeffrey Epstein. She responded by disputing the accuracy of the papers. The House panel investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot has voted to pursue contempt charges against former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark, who refused to answer the committee's questions. However, the panel is giving Clark a second chance. Republican Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming.
We will not finalize this contempt process if Mr. Clark genuinely cures his failure to comply with the subpoena this Saturday.
Representative Cheney says Clark could invoke his Fifth Amendment right during testimony. The big old Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center has been officially turned on. 79 feet of Norway spruce. It's covering more than 50,000 lights in a rainbow of colors.
Aww.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Couldn't get that even 80 feet, huh, Michael? Oh, well. Thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update and the sports that aren't happening due to labor concerns. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The baseball labor deal expired 11:59 last night. Two sides met in Dallas for all of 7 minutes. It was obvious there'd be no agreement on a new deal, so as has been widely expected for a while, MLB now into its ninth work stoppage. It's first since the strike that wiped out the 1994 World Series. Players don't get paid in the offseason, so the question is, will this last into spring training, even the start of the 2022 campaign? Because the lockout's been looming, there's been a free agent frenzy. Players signing mega deals like Max Scherzer did with the Mets. At $43 million a year, he was happy to set the market.
I've always been the recipient of somebody else's deal to be able to get my contract. So I'm very aware that that I'm not in a vacuum. It's not that I didn't get this number because I got this number. It's because of other players before me. And that, you know, hopefully, you know, what I was able to accomplish, that that helps out other players in the future as well.
Scherzer said he has spoken with his new teammate, Jacob DeGrom, but Marcus Stroman will not be part of the Mets rotation. He signed with the Cubs. Stroman used to pitch in the American League. He has pitched in every MLB park except his new home, Wrigley Field. Another win for the Rangers, 4-1 at the Garden over Philadelphia. Another goal for Chris Kreider, his 16th. He's third in the NHL. Daniel Jones says he's preparing as if he'll play Sunday in Miami. The Giants QB played last Sunday with a neck injury, suffered when he ran the ball in the second play of the game. First place Cowboys, who've lost three of the last four, will be without their coach tonight in New Orleans. Mike McCarthy in COVID protocol. Marcus Freeman emerging as the favorite to replace Brian Kelly and be the new football coach at Notre Dame. He's only 35, is currently their defensive coordinator. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Toys R Us, a resuscitated version of the mega toy seller that went out of business, is returning to its New Jersey home turf. The new owner of the brand plans to open a flagship location in mid-December at American Dream, the heavily indebted mall a few miles outside of Manhattan. The city of New York is suing the magazine L'Officiel USA. The action is on behalf of writers, producers, photographers, illustrators, and more who say they were not paid for their work or not paid in a timely manner. The commissioner of the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection describes this case as corporate theft from New York City's industrious creatives. Kempstar, a commodities trading firm, is expanding its business to handle multiple commodities with the opening of a new office in Stamford. The company will be adding a quantitative analytics team. It also plans to open an office in the Midwest. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm
Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that economic activity increased moderately in Chicagoland in October into early November.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government's deal with Pfizer and Moderna for 114 million more COVID-19 vaccine doses in the next couple of years.
I'm Steve Podolsk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the minimum age allowed for long-haul truckers being reduced from 21 to just 18.
I'm Ed Khoury on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Saudi Arabia and Taiwan's Foxconn, talking about a joint venture to make electric vehicles.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Germany's next government brings together an unprecedented partnership, a coalition of center-left social democrats, market liberal free democrats, and Greens. Unlikely as this alliance might seem, it's a promising venture. The prospect of a modernized, energetic center is a hopeful one. The building of this coalition, swift by German standards, was an achievement in itself. The Social Democrats' Olaf Scholz, who will serve as chancellor, struck compromises with his partners in a way that signals purpose, pragmatism, and moderation. To be sure, the parties have different priorities. Given the challenges Germany faces, there's a chance the whole enterprise could collapse. But Scholz and his partners have this much in common. They know that people who disagree can nonetheless work together toward shared goals. Germany isn't the only country where that unfashionable concept is due for a comeback. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning after the worst two-day slump of the S&P 500 in more than a year. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures are up 34 points, Dow futures up 321, and NASDAQ futures up 70. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. Technology shares are weighing on European stocks after Apple warned component suppliers of slowing demand for its iPhone 13 lineup. The 10-year Treasury is down 10 32nds, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.25% of $1.49 at $67.07 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $9 at $17.75.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1331 against the dollar. British pound 1.3320 and the yen at 113.07. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The federal government could be headed for a temporary shutdown. Some Republicans in Congress are poised to stall a must-pass funding bill as they force a debate on rolling back the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandates for some workers. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan abruptly replaced his finance minister amid deepening rifts in the administration over aggressive interest rate cuts that have undermined the currency and fueled inflation. Major League Baseball plunged into its first work stoppage since 1994. The sport's collective bargaining agreement expired, and owners immediately locked out players in a move that threatened spring training and opening day. In the NHL, the Rangers won. In the NBA, the Wizards and Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion. Informed perspectives and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. On this Thursday morning, tech columnist and Bloomberg Quick Take reporter Alex Webb is with us with more on the news Apple probably doesn't want to be delivering to its suppliers heading into this holiday season. Weakened demand for the latest iPhone 13s. Alex, good to have you back with us. What gives for Apple?
In a sense, it's actually demand started to sort of catch up with supply. Apple had already told its suppliers, at least Bloomberg had reported that it told its suppliers that it was probably going to need to cut production by 10 million units from the 90 million it had expected, simply because it can't get all the components. There is, of course, a massive supply crunch when it comes to semiconductors. That was meaning that they weren't necessarily expecting to be able to satisfy demand over the Christmas season, but they had expected that demand to catch up in the new year when perhaps the supply had caught up. What they're now saying is that is not the case, and then we can perhaps guess at the reasons why, namely that as you get further into next year, you get closer to the release of a new iPhone in the fall. That iPhone is likely to be a way more considerable upgrade than the iPhone 13 was to its predecessor. So consumers going, well, if I have to wait, I might as well just wait a little bit longer.
So then could this be a weakened demand issue specifically for these new Apple products, or could we be seeing this lack of demand spread out more broadly to consumer tech with all the inflation issues that U.S. consumers are dealing with, just having to buy basic necessities nowadays?
It's hard to tell. I think at this stage, you know, it's certainly an Apple-specific issue. We know that, you know, Apple has a really tight grip on its customers because of all these services they have built into their phones. You know, the apps you have, the music you have, the photos you have, all of that pre-installed on your phone makes it harder to trade that for an Android. So we're talking at this stage specifically about that customer base. Now, yes, you are right, of course, that the inflation is affecting costs of other things. The iPhone is a big ticket item. I don't really think the price of the iPhone is increasing. So that means that it's not the same as saying, well, actually, I'm not going to buy that extra, you know, loaf of bread or chicken breasts. It's a slightly different consideration, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a good point because Apple, of course, had put out these aggressive rebate programs to convince people who have iPhone 12s to upgrade potentially for little to no cost. So, I mean, what does this say about whether Apple perhaps could have made a misstep here coming out with a model that was, you know, fairly close to what consumers got out of the iPhone 12? Because I think I remember when this product was first launched, there was some question about, well, is there going to be demand for something that's so similar to what Apple's been putting out already?
I think it's important to, you know, caveat all this by saying that, you know, the street still expects Apple to sell 6% more iPhones this year than it did a year ago. So they're still expecting growth. It's just not quite the growth that perhaps investors would have wished for. And you can see the stock reaction today. Last time I saw it's down about 1%, which, you know, when you're a $2 trillion company, 1% is clearly a big chunk of change, but it isn't, you know, cataclysmic in the effect it's having. And frankly, it is, again, just pushing that demand out. The sense is that the demand isn't going to disappear completely. It just means that it won't surface again till, you know, a year from now. And perhaps then you have a real bonanza when it comes to iPhone sales come next Christmas.
But in our last 30 seconds here, when they're dealing with a supply crunch, chip shortages, what could that mean for some of those later models coming out next year?
It usually takes 18 months for a chip crisis to even itself out. Perhaps by that stage, we'll look at that. The odds are they have first dibs on this above the car makers. So I think if you're an Apple, if you are Apple supply chain manager, you're probably less worried than if you're BMW.
Good to have you back on with us, Alex. Thanks for this. Alex Webb of Bloomberg Opinion and Bloomberg Quick Take. Get more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. And just checking shares of Apple in the pre-market, they are down 1.6%. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Environmental Protection Agency reached tentative agreements with its biggest union on telecommuting, remote work, and work schedules, a significant win for workers. The nation's biggest law firm, Kirkland & Ellis, will consider giving lawyers equity shares 9 years after they leave law school rather than 10, a move that could put financial pressure on competitors. New York federal court records indicate Morgan Stanley resolved a lawsuit filed by a former associate who said he was subjected to harassment and other discrimination because he is gay and Muslim.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now the big legal story we're watching this morning. It's the most consequential reproductive rights case in a generation. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday on Mississippi's ban on abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Conservatives on the bench suggested they're ready to roll back abortion rights and uphold the measure. For more in the case, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
How would you characterize the questioning by the justices, the tone?
There was a certain amount of contentiousness. Mostly it was very much in favor of Mississippi. The conservative justices all suggested they were ready to uphold the 15-week ban. Almost no questions from them suggesting any skepticism towards it.
Justice Clarence Thomas asked right away how the court could uphold the law without overturning the court's precedents on abortion. Is there any way for the court to do that?
There didn't seem to be a way offered by either side that satisfied the justices. Lawyers on both sides are casting this case as pretty much an all-or-nothing case. The abortion rights lawyers, Julie Rickleman, the Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogar, were both essentially saying, if you're going to uphold this law, you are essentially gutting Roe, and there's no middle ground standard that will be as workable as the current one that we have.
Was the only question for the conservatives then whether to overrule Roe entirely or whether to stop at 15 weeks of viability?
That sure seemed to be the case. So you had Chief Justice John Roberts, who was mostly talking about the 15-week ban aspect of the law. He wasn't talking about overruling Roe. And then you had justices like Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, who were really pressing on the stare decisis issue, the idea that the court will respect its precedents. And then you had the most conservative justices, who were pretty clear that overruling Roe was what they had in mind.
After hearing the oral arguments, what's your best guess about how this will come out?
For starters, it's very clear they're going to uphold the Mississippi law. The question is whether they will go further and overturn Roe. On that, it's hard to say for sure. Based on what we heard in the arguments, it sounds like there might well be five votes to do that, including Kavanaugh and Barrett. The question will be, when push comes to shove, if John Roberts wants to write a narrower opinion that doesn't go that far, will somebody like Brett Kavanaugh decide he's going to go along with the chief and save the bigger ruling for later? On that, it's really too hard to say.
And that's Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures again on the rise. S&P futures up 31 points. Dow futures up 299. And NASDAQ futures up 64. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.